All right, what is going on, everybody? I am your old friend, Mario Kaleo, and if you have been paying attention, all the podcasts we do have been retooled, rebranded. Basically, it just means it all has one name. All the same guys. Now, this podcast used to be called From Grateful to Greatness, but now it is the One More Round podcast, just like the other one we do with Gomez. And that's sad. He's my cousin. I don't even know his last name. And RJ Reyes. We do that podcast about movies, comic books, TV shows, things of that nature. But this podcast will be to highlight motivational, fitness, health-related topics, but also primarily it's going to be showcasing people that I have gotten to meet through social media for the most part. And with that being said, this first episode is actually kind of special in a sense. Not that any of the future episodes won't be special, but this one in particular is because the person that I'm interviewing is somebody I actually got to know over time through, I believe we met on Instagram. And he is somebody who does motivational speaking, he does motivational blogging, and he is out in the world really, like, actually out and about helping people in a physical manner, not just on social media. So he and I became friends, got to know each other, and we've had multiple conversations, and I figured when we're going to restart this podcast, he would be the person that needed to be the first interview. So, without further ado, this is Ian Santos, a.k.a. Positive Toast, motivational speaker, founder of the Thinking Cap, and Dimatize brand rep, correct, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on here.
Yeah, man. Thank you for coming on, man. So, how is it over there in sunny Florida today, man?
Man, it is great. Actually, I think it's too great. The sun is beating, and I am already sweating. I just got out of a brunch for a friend of mine. Actually, I attended with my lady. She's still inside attending the brunch, and I came outside to conduct the podcast with you. But we're out there celebrating a friend's birthday who owns a local organization, a networking organization. They also do fashion shows and things like that. So we were just celebrating, and I came outside to do the podcast. And just from walking out of the restaurant to the car, I'm already sweating. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's sunny. Everything is good.
All right, that's good, man. Well, sorry to John just dropped his phone. sorry to interrupt the brunch, man. I was having brunch too, kind of in my car, but you know, it wasn't as important. So, but yeah, man. So, I decided that we're going to talk about your whole story and everything that's gotten you to this point, but I think of all the questions that I can ask you, this one I'm going to ask is to start the show off, and I'm going to start the show off every episode with this question, and that is, why do you do what you do?
Man, that is an awesome question. The reason why I do what I do is because of the person that I used to be and the things that I've experienced in the past, good things and bad things. But what motivates me all the time, and I tell people this all the time, it's not what I can have or what I aspire to have. You know, some people love cars. They want to have a fast car or a luxurious car, an exotic car. Some people love big homes, and they base their dreams and stuff around those possessions, which aren't bad. I don't discriminate or judge anybody for what they aspire towards or what they dream. Everybody has their own goals and ambitions. But me, honestly, what motivates me is not what I can have, but it's where I came from and where I've been. And what motivates me is moving backwards, going back to where I was. You know, we all desire to grow. And that's a commonality among all human beings. No matter what you want or what you aspire towards, you want more. And so I guess to put it in a nutshell, what motivates me and the reason why I do what I do is because I want to continue growing, and I don't want to go backwards. And to branch off of that, you know, helping others to do the same, to helping others to grow mentally, spiritually, physically, to help people grow financially. That's mainly why I do what I do, is my own happiness comes first, and not at the expense of anybody else's happiness. But as long as I'm being happy and flowing with the rest of humanity, you know, so as not to cause others to be unhappy. But then after my own happiness comes first, I believe the happiness of those around me is one of my biggest motivations to help other people, like I said, to grow and to just be happy with life.
Yeah, so the reason I asked that is because for me, the most important question I consistently ask myself every day, and I mean this sincerely, is why are you doing this? Like, why are you getting up early? Why are you working so hard? Why are you going to the gym? Why? You know, and I feel like that question is the most important thing I can ask to start this off, because it's the way I start off everything I do. So I just figured the most important thing to know is why do you do what you do? So that's a really good answer, man. It's a very noble answer, sir. I like that. I'm proud of you, Ian. Good stuff.
I mean, I appreciate that, brother. You know, you have been a great inspiration for me, and sometimes when I didn't have the motivation to get up and go on my own, because every day is not through the roof motivation, you know, but there are definitely people that I look to as running buddies on that journey to success, you know, on the journey towards, you know, achieving what we desire to achieve. You know, we look towards other things sometimes when we can't motivate ourselves, when we don't have that self-motivation. And you're definitely one of those key players in my motivation, in my fitness journey, in my financial, you know, success journey, like just all of the above. You have motivated me on several occasions when I couldn't motivate myself.
Well,
so
thanks,
thank you,
man. I appreciate that. Feelings are mutual, man. I got a question now, real quick, before we talk about your whole story. Why? Okay. What does the TOS stand for? Is it just the end of your name? Is it just Santos?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, it's not really a deep story. But yeah, it is the last half of my last name. A gentleman who was a peer of mine a while back, I haven't spoken to in a while, but he actually coined it. People used to call me by my last name, peers of mine, friends of mine. They used to call me Santos instead of by my first name, Ian. And they always called me Santos, but this one gentleman, I guess it was apparent to him that I'm always smiling. He said, "You're always smiling, you're always positive. Instead of calling you Santos, I'm going to call you Toast." He said, "Matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to call you Positive Toast, because positive is a part of who you are, so it needs to be a part of your name. So I'm going to call you Positive Toast." And at first, I didn't like it. I thought it was corny. Some of you listening might be like, "Oh, that's a dumb name." Like, you know, whatever. I thought the same thing. But just after, I don't know, it just grew on me. And after marketing myself as a motivational speaker and someone who is positive and lives a positive lifestyle, I just really felt like that was an awesome name, and it was way before its time. But yeah, Positive Toast is just the last half of my last name, Toast, Santos.
All right, that's cool. I thought that, but and I'm pretty sure you've told me that before, but I don't think you ever told me that, like, where it came from exactly. So that's cool to know, man. yeah, speaking of your whole story, let's get into that. So a lot of times people ask me, like, take us back to the beginning of your journey. So, and I'm pretty sure they don't mean take me back to when you were born. So you tell me, like, you tell me basically, where do you think who you are today began? Like, who, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did all that, and you could tell me about, you know, cause I know a lot about your story from our personal conversations, but I think it's important for everybody listening to really hear, like, your demeanor and disposition does not match your story at all. Like, you, like, when I found out your whole story, I was like, that doesn't match at all with what he's saying. And I think it's really kind of cool and really crucial for people to see that kind of complete 180 degree turnaround is possible. So go ahead from there, man.
Mario, you just took all the sparkle and sazzle out of my story, man.
How did I do that? I'm actually, I just gave it I think I just propped it up, man.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But you completely edified me, and I appreciate it. Okay, so my story starts, I was born in Providence, Rhode Island, December 1st. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I mean, it's okay. It's all right. That kind of stuff is interesting.
Well, first there was the Big Bang, then the Earth cooled.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so where it starts, I of course have to edify my parents. I honestly just kind of a side note, your old podcast was From Grateful to Greatness, and I respect that. You know, you're synchronizing everything into the one more round. Your one more round organization is incredible. I don't know if we have a title for this podcast, for this episode, but under the One More Round podcast, if we could name this episode From Grateful to Greatness, I would appreciate that, because that is really what it's all about. And that's what really caused my transition. I'm getting ready to tell you the story, but I just wanted to say that From Grateful to Greatness isn't a catchy phrase or anything like that. It's really how you get to greatness, is by being grateful. So starting off my story, again, just have to edify my parents. They are incredible parents. My parents are just hardworking individuals. They've always provided for me, always had roof over my head. They've always worked hard and stuck together up until, I want to say, 2006 when they got divorced. They're still friends now. All is well. They just had to go their separate ways. But they've been phenomenal parents my whole life. And at no point in time during any of my struggles and any of the times where I displayed a character contrary to what they raised me, you know, it was never their fault. But they've been incredible parents. So I was raised in Massachusetts. I came out to Florida with a huge chip on my shoulder. I was brought out here by my parents when they decided to move for the betterment of my future. And also to get away from the cold and other things. It was in the middle of high school year, right after my freshman year. So I came out with a chip on my shoulder. I had a lot of just rebellion in me. And I caused a lot of trouble for them. I never, you know, got physical with my parents or anything like that, especially because my father would beat my behind. But, yeah, he's a tough guy. But yeah, I came out here and, I got in trouble in school, got detentions. I actually held the record for suspensions in my school. Oh, the principal told me, or the dean, as they call him out here, he told me, you have the record for suspensions. I don't know what we're going to do with you. I remember him saying that when
it's
I was in his office.
Was there a trophy?
I mean, I feel like I should have gotten a trophy. I really feel – I want to go back to that school and see if they have a plaque up for me. But it really wasn't a good thing at the time. I was just young and lost and just had a huge chip on my shoulders. You know, I left all my friends and all my family. I was out in a brand new place. Everything was different. A lot of those things were for dress code, because back then I used to have my pants down to my knees. You know, that you hear that song, pants on the ground, pants on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I used to have, you know, real baggy clothes. Why my parents let me dress like that, I don't know. But again, they raised me really well, so I don't blame them. I chose my own clothes, and I listened to a lot of secular rap music that allowed to influence me. It doesn't influence everybody, but being as young as I was, I feel like that really influenced some of my decisions. I used to smoke weed. Hopefully that's not, you know, too aggressive for your listeners, but
Ian, I mean, you know me pretty well, bro. I don't think you need to worry about being too aggressive, man.
Yeah,
Mario, man, if I get too aggressive, just start cussing me out as much as you can.
I'm trying to keep myself toned down for your listeners, man.
cool. All right, well, now that's cleared up.
Get as real as possible, man. Don't hold back. It's all good.
Cool. So, yeah, I was just really, really rebellious again. Just getting in trouble with school, getting in trouble with the law. I got arrested a couple of times when I was younger. I smoked weed, like I said. I got into a few things that really could have turned out pretty bad. I was actually robbed in a hotel room with a couple of my buddies by some people that we knew, because we were doing so well. And by well, I don't mean well on the right side of the law. I mean well on the wrong side of the law.
Yeah. Wow.
But, you know, that lifestyle that you get into, I mean, that's really, you know, whatever you choose to do, that's what you're asking for. You know, what goes around comes around. So, just got into a lot of shaky things. And eventually I ended up getting arrested for, I think, the fourth time. And I was locked up. And I got arrested on burglary charges. I was 16 at the time, mind you. I was 16, turning 17. And I'd gotten arrested on burglary charges at that young age. And I always say that I regret what I did because of how I affected people, but I'm thankful for going through that, because I was locked up and sentenced to 14 years.
Wow, man.
Yes, it was 14 years in prison and 10 years on probation.
Man.
So I got locked up, and I was out on house arrest within 2 months while I was at jail, waiting to go to trial. And, you know, my parents, again, just did everything they could for me. They got me out of jail. I was home on house arrest waiting to go to trial, still smoking weed, still, you know, listening to the same music, still trying to be a thug, you know, writing rap music lyrics about things that I did and things that I didn't do, but things that I aspired toward with that mindset that I thank God that I got out of. But eventually I got locked up with that 14-year sentence, and it all came crashing down. It all hit me like a ton of bricks, and that's saying it lightly. I mean, I was crying. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know if I'd make it through it. Part of me was thinking of a way out, maybe escape, maybe, you know, hurting someone and running away, or maybe hurting myself. I didn't know what I was going to do, because 4 years at 16 years old, when I still have so much ahead of me in school and friends and everything, it felt like the end of the world. So I was incarcerated for the first half of my sentence, of my 4-year sentence, the first year and a half to 2 years, I was still being a dummy. I smoked weed inside the prison. There are ways to go about getting certain things inside the prison, and I won't say too much detail or anything like that.
Why, you don't want to give our listeners a step-by-step instruction manual on that?
No, because that would be doing them a disservice, service. We're not going to focus on that, but there are certain ways to get things in, and sometimes, you know, some weed got trickled in and stuff like that, and I still smoked. I got in fights. About 6 fights, and at one point, I was put into solitary confinement for 20 days. And
20 days?
For those of you that don't know, that's supposed to be 23-hour lockdown inside a cell. I guess at different prisons, they range at what sizes they are. But if I can remember correctly, I think it was like a 6x10 cell that I was in. It's supposed to be locked up in that cell for 23 hours and let out for 1 hour just to get exercise. It's supposed to be mandatory, but I was actually in that solitary confinement with a bunch of other people in their own cells. All of us in that solitary confinement dorm, we were in there for 24 hours. They never let us out of the dorm. So I can try to paint that picture for you, but I can't really justify how crazy it was to be inside a cell for 24 hours for 20 days. And there were some people that were in there for longer. But halfway through my sentence, and here's the turning point, the milestone, I got shipped to a new prison when I turned 18, and this prison was 26 years and younger, I believe. The other one that I was at was 18 and under, or under 18. So I was at this prison for 26 years old and younger. I was 18 years old, and after being there for a couple of months, I started to meet people and develop these relationships with people, these friendships. Some people I kept at arm's length, because some people just don't learn. They get into prison for whatever they're in for, there for, and they never change their ways. They never change their mind. But I never try to judge anybody. I always show love to people. I always try to, even when I was in my negative ways, I always had a love for people. Even though that's kind of contradicting to what I did with the burglaries and everything like that. But for some reason, it never clicked in my mind that I was hurting people. But anyway, so I've always had this love for people. And so I met people. Some people, again, I kept at arm's length. Some people I just fully embraced because of who they were. And there are definitely a couple of key people that I met that really changed my mind and really changed my whole paradigm. And so just moving along, I met these people. There was a couple of people in particular that I remember that got me reading books. And that was a huge change for me. That was a huge shift. I started reading entrepreneurial books. I started reading self-development books. I started reading spiritual books. In addition to that, I was going to the church services in there. They have what you call chain gang faith, or chain gang religion, or jailhouse religion. Any one of those suffices. But the jailhouse religion is where, like, you see these people, they get themselves in trouble or they get in jail or whatever, and they turn to God, and they do good. And honestly, I don't think it's a front. I think that when all of your distractions are gone, you focus on what's important, and you realize what's truly important in life. But unfortunately, a lot of these people, they get out and all these distractions hit them, and then they leave God. So, I mean, you may know somebody like that who at one point in time they were in trouble and they were, you know, doing good and they were turning to God and they were being positive and everything. And then, you know, they got out of that circumstance and they just went back to their ways. So I think that's mainly what it is. But, you know, I turned to God and I found God, and I thank God that I did. I found these people that were good, and I felt like all of this was momentum building up. The more I did good, the more good came to me. The more I met positive people, the more positive people came to me. The more revelations that I had in my own mind and the things that I learned, the more I wanted to learn and the more I learned, if that makes sense. So,
no, it does, yeah. Man. And I think, like, it's so huge. What, there's a couple things you said, but the main thing that's really – really resonating with me is number one, well, the two things is the distractions comment you made, but also the different people that you got around. Because, you know, man, I think that, and my, you know, it's kind of funny, man, because, you know, when I was a kid, my dad was old school dude, you know, was an old school Italian guy, right? And he used to always tell me that the people that you keep around you can either, you know, they can either, you know, make you or they can ruin you, you know. And as a kid, I used to think, well, I'm stronger than that. Like, that's not going to happen to me. Like, I, you know, people can't affect me that much. But as I got older, I realized that it was 100% true, man, that if you, and it's not an indictment of who you are as a person, but the more you're around a certain kind of person, the more you're going to start to just kind of mimic their behavior. They're going to mimic your behavior. And it's not something that really shows that you're a bad or a good person, but it's very hard to maintain a strength of character when, just to say, like, you were trying to lose weight, but you worked at a pizza place. You know what I mean? Like, it would only be a matter of time before you're like, whatever, let me just eat this stuff, you know? Or if you're like an alcoholic and you're a bartender, like, it's only a matter of time. And it's like, that environment is so crucial, dude. So it's like you said, I mean, changing venues when you ended up going to that other prison ended up becoming a blessing in disguise, because you met a bunch of people that their minds were in another place, than it helped you see something you didn't see on your own.
Yeah, amen. And that, man, that sums it up right there. Exactly. And please interrupt me, just quick side note. Interrupt me at any time if you want. I've made a couple of pauses when I was speaking just in case you wanted to interject. But if I'm rolling and you got something to say, just stop and we continue.
Oh, yeah,
conversing.
For sure, man. You know, people are used to hearing me talk all the time. So, I mean, this was more for, you know, this forum was more to highlight other people's stories, and as you're going, I mean, I feel what you're saying, man, don't worry about that. It's just like right now that really hit home for me, which is why I had to comment on it, because I think it's just, and I think another thing you said too, when you repeatedly said you didn't blame your parents for what happened to you, it's a lesson that I have tried to drill into people's heads. It's a lesson that a lot of people in our position doing what we do try to really instill in people, but I feel like it's a lesson that constantly gets lost, and it's the most important one of all, which is taking responsibility for the stuff that you do.
Yes, you said it.
And it really is so, it's actually, to be honest, when it comes to changing your life in any kind of way, it's the most important thing of all. There is nothing more important than that. And it's unfortunately the reason why most people have such a hard time making big changes, because they live in a world where everybody else is the reason why things are going the way they're going.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so common. I see that all the time. And I don't wish bad on anybody, but I sometimes think, and I got to be honest, sometimes I think, man, if they spend a little time in prison where I spent time, they would wake up, you know. But man, people will ask me all the time, wow, like when they see how I am now and they hear my story and they're like, wow, like, but how? I don't understand how. Like, were you hanging around the wrong people? And I tell them all the time, and I'm like, well, the people that I hung around definitely influenced me, without a doubt, but I made my own decisions. I was grown. You know, I wasn't 5 years old. I think after five, you don't have any excuses for the decisions you make. So, yeah. I mean, I definitely made my own choices, and I choose to hang around those people. But a lot of things outside of me, you know, the music I said that I was listening to, I told you that before again, and I said, you know, it influenced me, but it wasn't the reason, you know, it doesn't influence everybody. You know, there are different people at different states, you know, different mindsets.
You know, man, I think it's hard to grow around people that aren't trying to do better in general.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like for me, and I think it's important too, like, you know, you and I, our friendship is a testament to the idea that, especially now, like, in the world of social media, there's really no excuse for you not to find like-minded individuals. Like, it's pretty easy to do now. Like, when I was a kid and I was getting, like, bullied and stuff, there wasn't a bully chat room. It was like 1990. You know what I mean? Like, there was.
And, yeah, and that was a library.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there really wasn't a forum to do that. There wasn't anybody where you could be like, hey, man, you know, you got bullied too. Let's be friends. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that. And it was like, but like now I see that it's so easy now to find that kind of network, so to speak, as long as, you know, you're a little bit, I don't want to, picky in a sense, because
selective,
yeah, because there are a lot of, I've met quite a few on the other side of the fence that they talk a good game, but they're really not what they seem, and
yeah,
who that is will stay with me, but, but I mean, but
as
yeah.
As he looks at me.
No. No, but, you know, Ian is definitely not that, man. So, okay, you're learning all this stuff, you're reading all these books, and then ultimately you end up coming out of prison probably the person that you are right now, or at least on the way to becoming him.
On the way, definitely. You made me realize I left out a key part when you talked about bullying and how you were bullied. I was never really severely bullied, but I was picked on, and that was one reason why I identified with some of these troublemakers when I was younger. And that is because I've been very insecure my whole life, up until this transition where I met these people and started to have this change in mindset. But I have an overbite, buck teeth in the front, and my ears stick out.
You got the Will Smith ears.
Yeah, I always had long hair since I was younger. And that long hair, I got my saying ears. You see, that's the subconscious bullying that happened to me. But anyways, that long hair was always there as a disguise. Like, people don't really know, but the reason I had long hair, or one of the reasons why I had long hair, I mean, I like my long hair, but I had that as a cover-up to hide my ears and to take away. And I would have that, you know, in an afro or,
oh,
you know,
bro, I mean, I can relate.
Hanging down.
Yeah, I can relate completely, dude. I mean, you're talking to a guy who wears big clothes that are not my size just because I'm a fat guy insecurity in my head. Like, I don't want to, you know, I have that too, bro. Like, why do you think I wear hats all the time? Because I'm bald. You know what I'm saying? Like, I still, no matter what, have, you know, and I think it's human, man. It's human to have insecurities, man, so.
Yeah, well, I started to gain confidence when I got locked up because they cut your hair when you're in prison.
You had no choice.
You have no choice at all, and I felt so naked. Like, when they cut my hair and shaved it pretty much bald, I felt ridiculous, you know, because I've not only not had a bald head before, but I never had short hair in years, and, like, almost my whole life since I was a little kid. So it really made me feel out of place. But the more that I, you know, stayed in there and had my hair cut all the time, the more I realized that I was making it more of a big deal in my own head than most people around me. And I started to gain confidence and just accept who I was. And then fast forward to when I met the people, like you said, got the paradigm shift, and just had a hunger for learning, a hunger for knowledge, and a hunger just for staying positive. The more I hung around these people and started to create my own identity and become who I really was. Like, I don't know if there's a better way of saying that, but to become who you already are, I think is so important. There are so many people out there, and I have a shirt on right now. I thought we were doing a video podcast, but I have a shirt on right now. It says, be you. And there are some people who think they are somebody. Oh, this is just me. You know, I used to have anger problems. I punched holes in my walls a couple of times, and I broke my pinky with a boxer's break on my front metal door up north, because when I was young, even at 15 years old, I had anger issues, and I said, I couldn't control it. I can't control it. I can't control it. And I thought that's who I was. But, you know, when you're in prison and the guard's in your face and you want to punch him out, but you know that you're going to get put in that solitary confinement, or you know him and a couple of his buddies are going to jump on your back and there's nothing you could do because you're not on the outside where, you know, the news can cover it and people can say, oh, look at this police brutality. Like, no, you're in their world. So you had to control yourself. And I started to develop that discipline. And I became, and I never liked that outrage that I had as a kid. So I became who I was because being outraged, you know, and having that anger wasn't who I was. But at that time, I thought that's who I was. So I think that becoming who you already are is so important in this world. And like you said, a couple of other things, you know, the responsibility, taking responsibility, that's something that I started to do inside. I became a peer facilitator. Just before I got out, I want to say about 10 months before I got out, we had morning PT where they would line all the inmates up in the morning at like 5, or I think we'd get up at 5 a.m. and be out there by 6 o'clock. And they'd line us up, rain, sleet, hail, snow, just about. And we'd have to do exercise for an hour or a little less if we did good, you know, if we performed well. So we'd do this, and I got requested to be a peer facilitator. I don't even remember how it was. I don't know if I just was like encouraging people one day when they were trying to like buck on the system or whatever, but some officer recognized me and he asked me to volunteer to be a facilitator. I did it a couple of times and then they made me one of the official facilitators. So I usually had a dorm of about 40 inmates and we'd be out there with over 100 inmates, but we had our own dorms and we had to peer facilitate. So I'd be out there with about 40 inmates and I'd be encouraging them and instructing them to do the morning PT. So anyways, I got out of prison and I really found myself and I started to develop. I didn't have, you know, the greatest vocabulary to start. I didn't have a huge following on social media. I still had kind of loose baggy clothes a little bit. But like you said, I was becoming who I am now and I started to grow more, learn more, and just hang around, you know, awesome people who are doing phenomenal things and receive opportunities. And the more opportunities I received, the more I learned, the more I realized, hey, I got to play at a higher level. So yeah. I got to start dressing better. I got to keep my hair cut and trimmed. I got to speak better. I got to learn better vocabulary. I got to read more books so I know what I'm talking about when I speak to people and so I can have a conversation, so I can add value. And that really led up to me today. There are so many people. There are so many people I just would like to highlight. I don't know if you want me to wait to the end or if I can do that real quick.
Let's keep that part at the end because those are like people you want to like kind of like give a shout out to in a sense.
Yeah,
for sure, man. At the end of this episode, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just saying like we said in the beginning, it's all about that gratitude. That's why how I think you get to greatness, and that's why I love that name so much. But yeah, at the end, I guess that'd be cool.
Yeah, man, I'll probably someday bring it back, man. It's just got too confusing explaining everything to everybody at conventions and stuff, man. So
yeah, no worries. And I know you have that vision, brother. So I'm behind you 100%.
Thanks, man. So I want to ask one question, and then I'm gonna get. I actually have a list of questions, but this is something that just popped in my head. Something that is really kind of connected with you in terms of social media is physical fitness, and that's connected with me obviously because of the weight loss, and I'm always posting workouts and stuff. How, like, were you always into fitness, or did that come about later in life? Because I don't know if we've ever actually talked about that, and I think it's interesting because I think people undervalue how much of an effect physical fitness actually has on your overall state of being. So, and I think it's great that you take it so serious and that you post a lot about it, and so I'm just curious, when did that, was that always a part of your life, or did that come about later?
I'd like to say that I was always athletic, but I wouldn't say so much into fitness, just because I always played basketball my whole life, and I tried out for football and did the sprint, the summer conditioning, out in the heat, doing all the training and the courses and everything, and then when the season came around, I got cut because my grades were too poor. So I always like to say I was athletic, but I started getting into fitness. It's funny, I looked at a picture before I got locked up of me doing a flex with my bicep, and I had the smallest arms, but back then, I just thought I was big. But I started working out a little bit while I was locked up. There's nothing really to do in there. So I started then. Didn't really get heavy into it until I got out. And like you said, association is key. And there's a quote, I think it's by Zig Ziglar. It says, hang around five people and I'll show you what your future is, or something of that extent. But yeah, association is really key. And so hanging out with some people that were into fitness and that, you know, do look the part, they got me excited and motivated. There are two different people in this world, I believe, when it comes to motivation. There are externally motivated people and internally motivated. I can motivate myself, but a lot of the time I'm an externally motivated person, whereas I look to other things and other people to motivate me. And there are some people that, like my girlfriend, for instance, she can be in a room all by herself and just go so hard and do that every single day of the year.
Yeah, that's me. Like, I'm that way too, because I got so used to doing everything alone that I have that where I just, it almost feels like I'm being held back sometimes if I have to go with other people. It's no diss on anybody, but like, I'm very much like the I'll stay here for 4 hours guy, where everybody else is like, dude, can we go? Can we go, please? Like, that's enough, you know? And I'm just like, no, I'm good. Get out of here. But
I can stay in the gym for a long time, especially with my girlfriend, because she will be in the gym for 3 hours. And usually my workouts are like an hour and a half, maybe an hour, but hers are pretty long. So I can stay in the gym for a long time. But yeah, like being by myself, I could do that for a couple of days and then I get bored of it. I just need other things to motivate me. Once I see something, I latch onto it and it drives me and it propels me in my own direction. I don't cling to things, but I just use it as like boost and energy.
Yeah.
But so I would be around these people that were fitness, you know, into fitness and everything, and work out with them and get motivated. And then that just motivated me, you know, gave me that self-motivation. So I've been working out for the past 3 years, made a lot of progress, and I'm happy with it. And I post a lot of it on my social media. And I got a question from somebody before, like, your thinking caps, you know, they're supposed to be about positive thinking and enlightenment and all this, but you post a lot of fitness stuff. And I'm like, yeah, because your body and your mind are connected. There's a direct correlation between the body and the mind, like a healthy body, healthy mind. And that is so true. And I wish people would grasp that more. If you are healthy in your mind, if you are thinking positive, if you have empathy for other people and you care about other people, if you read books and you start to grow mentally, that will cause you to realize that, hey, I need to take care of my body. Hey, you know, these certain things I shouldn't be putting into my body, and these certain things I should, because I want to perform at the highest level. If I want to start a business, I need to be able to perform. I don't need to feel down and drowsy.
Yeah,
it's so crucial, dude.
It's so crucial because it really has an overall effect on everything else. Like, and that's something I really try to stress as well, is like, you know, you can read all the quotes, you can watch all the videos, but if you don't take care of yourself, at least somewhat. I ain't saying you gotta be a psycho fitness Nazi, but like, if you don't get a little bit active, eat somewhat healthy, you're gonna feel the physical effects, and it ain't gonna matter what books you read or what videos you watch, you're gonna feel like garbage. And it's not gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're gonna have a very difficult time feeling pumped up to even do anything, much less go to the gym, if you aren't at least somewhat living healthy. It's like I said, man, I mean, we're not all gonna be living like Dwayne Johnson, eating salmon and veggies every morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't all have personal chefs. We don't have that, man. But you can at least do what you can with what you have. And it's like, you know, like with you, man, I mean, I bring up the fitness thing especially with you because just from the time I met you to now, your progress is insane. And I don't even know if you realize it, dude. Like, your physical progress, it has been, like, unreal. Like, how, like John, I don't know, like, you know, if you've ever seen Ian, but this dude's, like, he's ripped.
Yeah.
Like, he's ripped. He's freaking ripped. And it's like, I see that. But when I first met him, he was in really good shape. But, like, this now is just – it's such a testament to how hard the dude really works and how much he cares about it. So it's inspirational And I think it's cool, too, because a lot of motivators are now jumping on this bandwagon, whereas before they really weren't. Like, you really never heard Eric Thomas or Tony Robbins. You never heard these guys really talking about that. It's become a movement only in recent, like, the last couple years, where people are starting to realize that, like, man, the body's just as important as the mind. Like,
it's the whole thing now.
Yeah, and I think that's great, because for a long time it was kind of not really talked about. It wasn't that big a deal. Like, you'd see a motivational speaker, and he'd be, like, obese. And I'm thinking in my mind,
Chris,
like,
Farley from the
the Chris Farley Saturday Night Live. But yeah, like, you know, you can't help but think, you know, dude, like, you're not really taking care of yourself. You know what I mean? Like, it's a cynical mindset, but it's the truth. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, initially it was more of the spiritual mindset, right? Back in the 80s and 70s and 90s, it was, if you put your mind to this, you could be a success. You could be whatever you want, that kind of thing. And now you're right. It needs to be more.
And it is.
And one thing I wanted to say is I think I'm pretty sure me and Ian are friends on Facebook too, through because of you. And I'd agree. From when I started following him and talking to him once in a while till now, he's you progressed big time, man.
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
even
fellas, thank you so much. I truly appreciate that, man. And I just want to clear the air for anybody listening who might not be where they want to be yet physically. There's no shame on anybody. Like,
that's not what I meant at all.
And I know you well enough, Mario, where that's not at all the message you're trying to give. But I just wanted to clear it up just in case anybody hears that and thinks something the wrong way. But yeah, it's all about who you are and your happiness and how you help others, you know, to experience that happiness, because this life is short. And Mario, I think I can attest for both of us, for you and myself and John too. Like, as entrepreneurs and people that are striving for success, we value just about more than anything time. You know, time is the most precious commodity.
Yeah.
You'd
yeah.
never get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Never
and
enough of it either.
Exactly. and really, like, if you are a motivational speaker, if you're striving for success and you're not even a motivational speaker, if you're just trying to better yourself and you're growing mentally, again, that body and mind thing, if you're growing mentally, but you're eating, let's say, fried food every day, all day, and then you end up developing cancer or a tumor, what do you think that's going to happen to you? What do you think is going to happen? You're going to lose time drastically because you're going to be in the hospital, and eventually your life is going to end short. So that body and mind thing, and it works in the reverse. Like, when you are working out, you want to learn more about what you're working out. You want to learn more about your body. You want to learn more about how you can be effective and grow more and get better on your workouts. So you start to study. And then when you start to study, then
your mind gets stronger.
It's your mind. Yeah, and exactly. It gets stronger, and that makes you want to grow mentally. So when somebody asked me about, I thought the thinking caps were about, you know, positive thinking and all this stuff. What are you doing posting all this fitness stuff? I'm like, you don't get it. Like, you got to get it.
Go,
like,
hand
you have
in
to
hand.
Get it. You might be at the beginning, so I'm not going to judge you, but eventually you have to understand that this is all one big thing. The thinking cap is all of this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not just the
and,
mind.
Real quick, let's tell everybody about that. I mentioned it briefly in the beginning, the founder of the thinking cap, but tell everybody what that is, because we've brought it up a few times now. Just real quick, let everybody know what that whole thing is, what that movement is about, how it even came to be, to be honest. I mean, I think everybody should hear about that.
Thank you so much. I've been designed ever since I had that paradigm shift when I, you know, transitioned in my thinking, my thought process. I wanted to be a motivational speaker because I realized that there is a huge epidemic in the world with this negativity, with this negative thinking, and like you said, the lack of responsibility, the lack of maturity and everything like that, and having the growth that I had, not knowing that I was immature, not knowing that I wasn't handling my responsibility and everything, and then having that change, I realized that other people need to have that change because it can benefit other people greatly. Like, there's so many good things that could be done in the world. So many people can change their lives and better their lives. Suicide rate would drop and everything like that if people just had the same paradigm shift that I had. So I've been wanting to be a motivational speaker since I started early on while I was still in prison. That was something I set out for myself. and I decided one day I will be a motivational speaker. I'm still striving towards that. I've gotten some opportunities where I've spoken at engagements. I think I've had about 8 engagements, bigger and smaller crowds. But I was thinking, what is a way that I can separate myself? Because I learned not too long ago that there are tons of motivational speakers and people aspiring towards that. I thought that I was in a unique field because they say that motivational speaking is the most feared thing in the world. They did a study, and I guess they found that as this, you know, the statistic that that's the most feared thing in the world. I think that it's not feared more so than somebody, like literally than somebody, you know, falling into the ocean with the shark infested waters. You know what I'm saying? But what they're saying is that more people think about motivational speaking daily because they're at work and they have to speak in front of somebody or something. So it's thought of more often and feared more than, you know, people would think about, hey, today I might fall into waters with sharks in it, you know? So, but yeah, I thought that I was in a unique field, and then I found out quickly that that's not the case. So I'm trying to think about a way to separate myself. And after a few days of thinking about different things that I could do and ways to separate myself, I thought of, why don't I have a hat with a light bulb on it? As a matter of fact, I had a quote that said, there are two things, quote that I coined myself, there are two things you can always wear that'll never go out of style, a thinking cap and a smile. So kind of in junction with me thinking of how to separate myself, that quote came to mind. I'm like, what if I could wear a thinking cap and show that quote and use that thinking cap as a way to separate myself from all the other speakers? I'll be the thinking cap guy. So I came up with it. I had it made at Lids, and I started wearing it, and a couple people that I had allowed to see it before I posted about it or anything like that, they thought it was a really good idea, and I felt like the reaction was telling me to make it into a business. So to keep it as my own icon, but also to allow other people to partake in the movement of enlightened thinking. So that's how it was created. And the hat itself is about positive thinking, positivity, independent thinking, and creativity. And I believe everybody's unique and has their own light to shine. The hat itself, I believe, is the only hat line that promotes the individual wearing it, as opposed to a team or a company or a product or whatever we put on all of our hats and we wear. We wear hats all day, and most of them are promoting something. But that light bulb is promoting the light that shines within you. What is it promoting? Whatever it is that you desire to do, whatever your passion is, whatever you're happy about, and whatever makes you rise to the occasion every day. So that's really what the hat line is about.
Cool, man. Yeah, I think that's basically you. You know what I'm saying? Like, the hat line is basically an extension of who you are. You know, it really represents what you're about and stuff like that, man. So it's cool, man. I have one. He sent me one a while back, so... It's a really cool idea, and it was a good way to separate yourself, man. You know, so one of the questions I got on my list.
If you don't mind me just making a quick comment, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I wanted to say, too, that I am a proud Christian, and I never push my faith on anybody. I have plenty of Muslim friends, Jewish friends, and atheist friends. And like I said, I you know, exist with these people. They're friends of mine. We get along and everything. I never push my faith on anybody. But on my personal hat, I have on the back of it 5:16. It's not on every hat because, again, I don't want to push my faith on anybody.
Yeah.
But when I thought of the hat, a quote came to mind. It's actually a verse from the Bible, and it says 5:16 stands for Matthew 5:16. It says that, let your light shine before men so others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So for me personally, and again, the light is about the light that shines within you, what your passions are, what your interests are. The light is about you. So for me, my thinking cap is about that, in a sense that I am doing all that I can for myself and for others around me, you know, again, to be happy, to live and to grow. What I said is why I do what I do every day. But it's all for the glory of the one who saved me. You know, like I said, when I had that transition in my mind, one of the things I started doing was going to church, and that significantly helped me out. And I hope that through hearing what I'm saying, other people will be inspired to maybe seek God in their own way or go to church or whatever. Maybe one day, hopefully, find Jesus Christ. But if not, you know, whatever they can that gives them that fulfillment, that lets them know that, you know, they're doing this all for a purpose because life is short. And at the end of the day, we take nothing here that is on this earth with us. So it's got to be about something more. So that, for me personally, that verse right there is one main reason why I do what I do, you know, to highlight, not to highlight myself, but to highlight the one who has done all that he could to save me and to keep me motivated, keep me going.
Yeah, I feel you, man. And you know what, dude? Like, honestly, regardless of what anybody believes, what they don't believe, we all need something, I feel, bigger than just ourselves. Even if it's just, like, your wife or your kid. You know what I mean? Or your mother or whatever. Like, I really believe, like, if your goals aren't tied to something bigger than yourself, it's really difficult to stay driven for the long haul. So whether it's a higher power or even just your family, your friends, you know, I really believe, and this is something I tell people often, man, like people that struggle with being motivated, usually it's because your goals are not tied to something bigger than yourself. Once you start doing that and linking it to something more emotional than just like, well, I want to lose weight to fit in this dress. Like, once you link it to something a little bit more impactful than that, you'll have better results.
And you looked fine.
Mario,
you
are
going to be huge
one day, bro. Thank your analogies are always on point. You always find a way to link something up to a story and make a bigger impact than just saying it straight out.
I like to do that because I feel like it's a good way to have people have an emotional response. You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
Oh, I just said for sure.
Speaking of all the motivators that we run into or that are out in the world, who would you say, this is one of the questions I got. I got like four questions. These are kind of quick round questions, all right?
Okay.
Who are your favorite motivators? Give me your top three motivators.
Mario Kaleo.
Yeah. Okay. Well, besides the one who does Uber for a living, to talk about the one, talk about, like, for real, like, who are the ones that you legitimately seek out, like, that you want to go watch their videos or listen to their audio?
Okay. Quick. Recently, since he's rose to popularity, Gary V has been the number one person I've listened to in the last, I want to say, like, 6 months. Gary V has definitely inspired me, motivated me. And the reason why I like him is because he is, obviously, if you know him, he's raw and uncut. He's just like you. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. But he keeps it simple. And there's a quote that I heard before. Dang, I just lost it. But it's about, there it is, Einstein. There's no genius in complexity. So that, thank God that came back to me. But Einstein, I learned that years ago, and I've always valued simplicity because I'm not a good multitasker. I'm not a good when I have too many things on my mind. My lady can tell you, when I have too many things going on at once, I forget a lot. You know, there's things that fall through the cracks. So the fact that Gary V just tells you straight up, right to the point, he doesn't, you know, make a big elaborate story about anything usually. But he just tells you straight to the point, and he doesn't give you any time to BS with him. He knows when you're BSing, and he'll call you out on it. And I think that's incredible. He saves time in listening to huge audios by just getting straight to the point, a quick 30-second video.
Yeah.
And he's real about everything. But aside from him, I would say definitely Eric Thomas. I would say Joel Osteen when I need that spiritual motivation as well. In addition to those guys, I would say a personal friend of mine, Josh Wallison.
Oh, yeah, that Joshua's Army. Yeah, actually, give him a quick shout-out real quick, man, because that guy's doing some pretty incredible stuff, man.
Yeah, Joshua's Army, it was a boot camp that he had going on. He has his own gym in Kissimmee, Florida, and he would invite people down there, men. He would invite men because it was geared towards men. He wanted to grow men and make men better men, basically, just being more chivalrous towards their women,
like,
being stronger and pursuing their goals and dreams, you know, harder and just being like real men. And so we would work out, and then he would pour into us mentally. And then he created this new 5-mil movement. We found out that people are more receptive to knowledge when they're well fed. You know, when they're hungry, they're just looking for food. That's their focus. So he realized that there are 1 in 6 people in America go to bed hungry every night, and he wanted to change that, and he wanted to make an impact, and so he combined the two and made it the Joshua's Army and the 5 Mil Movement together, and so he's selling products on his website. You can contact him or whatever. He's selling products, and with every product purchase, 11 meals get distributed. That's huge. He's aiming to feed 5+ million people. That's why it's called the 5 Mil Movement, and it's on track.
I love it because it's something tangible. You know, it's the, you know, stuff like that is the reason, like, I started trying to be a coach, because I wanted to I wanted what I was doing to be beyond just posting on social media. You know what I mean? Like, not that there's anything wrong with that. I think I've impacted quite a lot of lives. I think you have as well. But I think there's something to be said about doing something a little bit more tangible with your talent. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of us can easily get hooked on that social media attention and just kind of run with that. But you, as well as I am, and obviously Joshua, we're the type of people that's just not good enough, you know? And it's a constant desire to grow and keep progressing.
Do you know, Mario, that my lady actually told me that on Instagram, she found this out the other day, there are more hashtags for fitness than there are for motivation. Just think about it. How many people do you know are not into fitness? And think about everybody in the world, something motivates them. So they use that term motivation at some point or another, whether they're talking about, you know, their rock and roll music is their motivation, or their kids are their motivation, you know, but fitness is actually hashtag more than motivation. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't know that. That's kind of cool, man. I guess that's a good thing. Good. It's a good sign. All right, the next question, because I told everybody earlier in this podcast that the other half of the One More Round podcast is about movies and stuff like that, I was curious to know, on that topic, what are three movies to you that always hit home, no matter how many times you see them, they always hit you, they always resonate with you, they always impact you?
Well, being that my memory is so bad, I could not even recall all of the movies I've seen, and I'm sure there are others that I would have chosen. But I'm going to name three that I thought about, you know, for a little while, and those three actually came to my mind. But I hope I don't lose your audience. I know we have a lot of comics going on. I know you have your comic line. I love Marvel and DC movies, and the Avengers, the
Is just a straight up, this is a broad question, man. It doesn't matter if it doesn't have to be a comic book movie by any means.
No, I know. I'm just giving a little disclaimer. Like, okay. I love those types of movies, but I've never, even with books, I've never really been into novels. I don't really like stories too much. I love real,
like, biographies. Like
factual. Yeah, I love factual things. So the movies that I thought of that really impacted me throughout my lifetime were Hardball.
Okay. The one with Keanu Reeves, correct?
With Keanu Reeves and the kids from the ghetto, in New York.
All right.
Yeah, that was deep. I remember crying in that movie when the little boy got shot.
Okay.
Because it's so real. I know so many people in predicaments like that, you know, that are in the hood that want to do something more, but they're stuck in those kind of lifestyles. So that definitely hit home and definitely made me emotional. Another one was John Q. That one, I sound like
movie.
A sap right now,
because
that one made me emotional too.
Fantastic movie, man.
John Q with Denzel Washington. Yeah, that one hit home hard too. I think I was in the movies with like three of my friends, and we all cried during that one. And then Matrix, another Keanu Reeves movie. The Matrix, that one, the reason why that one is one of my favorite movies of all time is because that movie is so deep that when I watched it, when I was like, I don't know, maybe 12 years old, all the way up until I saw it a few times, but all the way up until like maybe like 15 or 16 years old or 17 years old around there, I saw it probably like, I want to say 10 times. And that movie never hit me until I got older what that movie was actually about. Oh, and then I was just mind blown, like 20, like, no, I shouldn't say 20, like 10 years later, I'm mind blown over this movie I saw when I was 12.
Yeah, no, that movie definitely doesn't have an impact as much, because I saw it, I think I was like, what was that, year 2000, I believe it came out, and I was, I think I'm right about that, I could be wrong.
Yeah, it was 99 or 2000.
So I was 18. And
I was like 27.
So I was 18.
Lying, John. John, you ain't lying, John.
Yeah, because I was born in I was like 24. I was born in 77, so then yeah, I was like 23, 24 when it came out.
Oh, yeah, I went and saw that with Girl. And
so did I, my ex-wife. I remember leaving and immediately going to buy the soundtrack.
Great soundtrack. Great soundtrack. But yeah, that movie, man, I saw it in the theater and I was 18 and I was baffled. I was like, what did I just watch? And it definitely, as I got older, really, and I, you know, started growing as a person and all that stuff, like, that's when it really hit home for me what that movie was and represented. So yeah, I feel that, man. Yeah. All right, let's see. Who's your biggest real life inspiration right now? Please don't say me.
My father.
Okay.
Sorry about
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's my father, man. My father has been the greatest example of my life. He has made numerous mistakes. And some of those mistakes have led to, you know, him and my mother getting divorced. He never cheated. But you know, they had their bouts and stuff, and you know, they got divorced, but he's made mistakes throughout his lifetime, but I never judged him for it because of how much of a role model he was for me. He always networked with people. Everybody where I'm from in Massachusetts, in the southeastern region of Massachusetts, so many people know him. And for not being a famous individual, he was like a celebrity to me everywhere we went. He always had a positive attitude, except for when I caused some trouble and he wanted to get in my behind, you know. But But he always was a positive individual. He always networked with people, showed people love. He went out of his way. Actually, my grandfather passed away about 2 months ago. And
oh, sorry to hear that, man.
Thank you. He spent a lot of his time caring for his father, and that scares me because I already don't have time as it is. And to think about one of my parents falling ill and me having to be at their side all the time, it scares me, because not that I'm so selfish that I don't want to care for them, but I'm trying to make a life for myself and, you know, my future wife and our future kids that we will have. And I'm like, man, if I don't have a job, you know, that I've been in for the last 10, 15 years that I've grown with and become a top executive where I'm making a lot of money and all this stuff. I work in a service job, actually two jobs, serving and hospitality. And those aren't stable jobs, for one. And two, they don't pay a whole lot of money. Yeah. I make tips, but, you know, there are definitely way better jobs that I could have. But I've spent a lot of my time just making mistakes and trial and error and everything. So where I'm at now, I'm finally trying to build a brand. I'm finally trying to grow myself. And it just scares me because I know that I would make the decision to care for my parents. But then what would I have for myself, you know? But this man, my father, he spent almost all of his time by his father's side while he was ill, helping him out, being there for him, caring for him, and he's just been an example for me unlike any other. So my father is definitely number one.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, that was a good answer, man. Great answer.
Yeah, my situation reminded me of him when you
So my situation with my dad's kind of the opposite of yours. It's awesome that you look at your dad that way.
Yeah, man, for real.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I really am,
because I think fathers are important.
I have a great stepfather, though. I love him to death. But my real one,
father figure. But Mario, when you talked about your father caring for your mother, and when he passed away saying, make sure you just take care of my mother, that reminded me of my dad, because, you know, I still have my mother here with me, but it reminded me of him in a different way, that he's there for his parents, and he's there whenever they need him, right when they need him. And I know that if he were to pass away, he would say, hey, you know, son, take care of your mother, or take care of your brother and sister, or whatever. Like, he is that selfless kind of guy. So
yeah, and I think you know, I know you're referring to that live video the other day. It's important for guys like us to pass on stories of people that, you know, weren't famous. You know, I think it's like we get very, as in this genre, and you know me now, man, like for a little while, like I'm really trying to go in a direction that maybe this genre doesn't necessarily go in all the time. And I'm not saying like I'm some, like, you know, I'm not the most unique or anything like that, but I definitely see gaps. And one of the gaps I see is that everybody's always propping up people that are already famous. And it's like, don't get me wrong, I love a Dwayne Johnson quote just like the rest of us, but I see my real life father as this guy who turned nothing into something, from poverty to straight, you know, almost being basically rich, and all did that with a fifth grade education. And I feel like it's kind of my obligation to be the person that's going to tell his story. You know, it's like, it's all well and good to hear the Mario success story or the Ian Santos success story, but I think it's kind of like our duty to really pass on their legacy, because they're never going to get that A&E true Hollywood story or whatever like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Michael Jordan got that. Bruce Lee gets it. Oprah got it. But they're never going to get it unless we do that for them. And I think that's huge. This is something you and I have talked about in the past. It's more so just that support for support idea as well. Like, we're all over here sharing these videos of people that, yeah, it's great, and what the stuff they're saying is very important, very beneficial, but there's no discourse with those people. Like, you're not going to have a conversation with Gary Vee. And I love Gary Vee to death, man. And when people, I've been compared to him multiple times lately, and I think that's a massive compliment. But I also feel like I'm going to share your video, or my, you know, our guy Life Speaks Life, like, he's another friend of ours. Like, I'm going to share that stuff quicker than I'm going to share something that somebody really famous said, mainly because I think it's important for us to shed light on those stories. This is going back to what I just said, like your father, like my father, or your story, or my story. I mean, that's why I'm doing this podcast in general, is because I want to shed light on those stories that aren't getting, you know, national attention, that aren't going viral or whatever. And it's because, even on a small scale, if the people who follow me listen to this and they hear your story, it's important for them to see the transformation and the inspiration from another side of it. Because, you know, you and I think is a great friendship, because it shows that two people can come from a completely different approach and still have the same general, what would you say, like the same kind of ideals, or the same kind of
ideals is a good way to think.
Motivation. Yeah. I mean, we're both trying to do the same thing. We might be doing it in a slightly different way and a different approach, but it shows that two people from different ways of doing things can come together to kind of go the same direction, in a sense. And I think that's important too, man.
That's the mastermind philosophy.
Exactly.
Well, and it's nice to see that, like you just said, everyone from different areas, economic or whatever, come together. People get along, and people have many things that they could share that could really help people out.
Absolutely,
know?
Man.
You don't see enough unity. You don't see enough unity today. You know?
There's a book called Think and Grow Rich. I'm sure all of your listeners have heard about it, because supposedly it's the number one selling book next to the Bible. But the Think and Grow Rich book is centered around the mastermind philosophy, where Napoleon Hill highlights this philosophy that where there are two or more people coming together, where there is a group, or, you know, like I said, even two people coming together, they can do exponentially more than any one person on their own. And all of the biggest businesses, of
like
course,
the Avengers,
are,
man.
all of the biggest businesses are made from systems, where people create systems where, you know, you got one person answering the phones, one person filling the orders, one person doing, you know, whatever else.
Yeah.
And that's how well-oiled machines work, and you can create a power force with that well-oiled machine. And I have to make I'm a proud Christian. I have to refer to the Bible with that. But there is a quote that goes, and this is just to edify that whole mastermind philosophy and say how powerful it is. In the Bible, it even says, God is speaking, and it says, where two or more are gathered, I am right there in the midst. So if God is in the midst of two or more, he says, where two or more are gathered, I am in the midst. And then you got Napoleon Hill, who may or may not be religious, but he's saying there's a mastermind philosophy where you create a power force with two or more people. There's something to be said about that. So I definitely agree. When there are two people or more coming from different areas, like you said, John, and getting together, like, that's awesome. That's powerful.
Oh, yeah.
I also, for me, and this is on a personal level, a lot of people know this, but for those of you that don't, when I made the decision 4 years ago when I started just blogging, not even doing videos, just blogging, when I made the decision that I was going to be my 100% authentic self, whatever that meant, you know, and I would deal with the consequences of it. If that meant it took me 20 years to become successful, so to speak, that was fine. Because I just wanted to be who I really was with everything I did. Right. What a guy like Ian and others like him have shown me on a personal level is that just because I present myself in a different way,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that I'm going to, because I was afraid like nobody was going to want to mess with me. To be honest, I really was afraid of that. I was afraid like, you know, everybody's going to be like, well, this guy swears, this guy's all gruff and blunt, and he's, too, you know, he's kind of like rough around the edges. And I was afraid that that was going to make me kind of on an island. But I was like, whatever, if I'm on an island, I don't care. But I was afraid of being on that island, and a guy like Ian, really, primarily it was Ian, showed me that, like, wow, he's doing his own thing his way, and it's not like how I do it, but here he is still telling his people, like, hey, man, like, this guy, he speaks in a rough and raw way, so be ready for that, but what he's saying is something you need to hear. That, to me, was huge for me. Like, it was huge for me, and I don't think you even realized that, Ian. Like, I don't know if I ever even told you that, but, like, that, to me, that moment was huge for me because it showed me, like, you know, even though I come at this in a different way, people aren't going to, like, put me, like, alienate me. You know what I'm saying? And that was a good feeling for me. So I always was grateful for that from you, man. And it just kept happening more and more after you, but you were really the first person to kind of, I guess, like, give me public props, in a sense. You know what I mean? So, I was always grateful for that, man.
Thank you so much for sharing that with me. I think you did share that with me once before, but sharing it again is definitely just invigorating, you know, to hear that I actually helped you in that way, man. But, yeah, you help me out all the time when you, you know, share your content and say the things that you're saying on your live videos because you're so impacting, and I don't know if you realize how impactful you are. But
I do, but at the same time, I just focus on the work. Like, I do know what I'm doing, but I still try not to get too in it. Like, I'm just trying to focus on what I do, so.
But, like I said, I listen to Gary Vee all the time, and I listen to you, and you're one of my biggest motivators, too. But the reason why I try to refrain from posting too much of Gary Vee's content and even your content, although I do share stuff from time to time, is just because, like, honestly, I like that stuff. Things don't influence me like they used to. Nowadays, I'm solid. I'm rock solid. Everything that hits me is like water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't want it to go in, it's not going in my head. Like, you know, but there are people out there, like you said earlier, that don't take responsibility. And, you know, they think that, you know, they're going to be affected by, you know, a few cuss words, or their kids are going to be affected by some cuss words because they haven't taught their kid how to be responsible and to be, you know, grown about things. Unless they're kids, and I understand, but like little teens or something like that. But honestly, like, I just know that people are really overly sensitive in today's society, and they don't take responsibility for their actions or their kids' actions or whatever. And so I post things like that, like Gary Vee and you and stuff from time to time. But I just want you to know, right here and now, you know, on the record, off the record, you are the man, bro. I love listening to you.
Thank you,
stuff.
Man. I appreciate it. So the last question I'm going to ask you, and we're actually kind of we're actually over the time limit, so this has to be this got to be a quick answer for you, okay? And I'm ending every episode like this, the way I used to, same way. What are you most grateful
for, Mario?
Huh?
I know you said you're going to end everything the same way. If we don't have time, it's not a problem. But if you have, do we still have the time to do this quick little shout outs?
Oh, yeah, no, we're going to do that right after you answer this question.
Oh,
right,
so
right
sorry
after
to mess up your phone.
No,
I didn't
no, don't
stop
worry about it,
it,
man. No, don't worry about it. It's all good.
Cool.
So the last question I want to ask you is, what are you most grateful for right now?
What am I most grateful for right now? I know you said it's got to be quick, but there's no quick way to do this. I'll do it as quick. I'm just going to name drop my beautiful lady. Ishmina Johnson, she is right next to me, actually asleep. She's been waiting for me to finish up on this podcast
oh, damn.
In the car. But my beautiful lady, my family, my mother, my brother, my sister, my other sister, my father, my grandparents, my cousins, all of my family, friends like you, friends like John that I meet through friends that are awesome and cool, you know, right off the bat. You know, we haven't gotten to know each other much, but friends, friends of friends, God, people at church that I go to, just another chance at life. You know, just every day waking up, all of my senses, all of the little things that we forget to thank God for, that we forget to just be grateful for, I should say. You know, just I'm just grateful all around the board. There's no short way to say that. So I'll just say I'm grateful for everything. I mean, that might be a cop out, but
no, it's not. It's a good answer, man.
Some of the most important things.
All right. So, yeah, man, let everybody know where they can find you first and foremost. And then whoever that you want to highlight, go ahead and do that, and then we'll get out of here, man.
Okay, I've never done this before. I don't even think I've done it on my Facebook page, where I interact mostly with most of the people that I know. But I'm going to do it special for Mario's One More Round podcast. I'm going to drop my number down. It's 407-953-5111. Again, that's 407-953-5111. And you can call me if I know Mario's network is very supportive and everything like that. So I trust everybody that's listening to this podcast. Just give me a call if you ever want to chat about anything, if there's anything I can do for you, if you have any way that you'd like to connect and maybe collaborate with me or whatever. Just give me a call. You can find me on Facebook at Ian Michael Santos in parentheses positive TOS. That's positive TOS. I should be one of the first ones that pop up there like that. And on Instagram at positive_TOS. Also my Thinking Cap Instagram, which I haven't been too consistent on lately. I need to, but that is at Thinking Cap Official. All one word, Thinking Cap Official.
All right, cool, man. Nice. Yeah, actually, your girlfriend is at Fit Cherokee, correct?
Yes, that's one of the people I was going to highlight. But yes, she's at, all one word, Fit Cherokee. That's FitCherokee.
Yeah, I think I think it's important for us to give her a shout out too, man, because she's out there doing a lot of big things as well. So, and she's a good. A lot of the people that follow me are women, so I think it's good for them to see, like, you know, strong, empowered women out there doing big things, man. So, if y'all are listening, go follow Fit Cherokee's page as well.
Awesome.
And yeah, man. Yeah, like I said in the beginning, I'll say it again. Thank you very much for doing this, man. Thank you for being the first interview on the epic comeback of this podcast. Yeah, man. To everybody listening, please follow Ian. He's an incredible inspiration. Go get one of his thinking caps. We will be back for another episode soon. But as always, remember, all you need is a start. And some heart.
And some heart.
Peace.
Peace.